Okay, let's get started. Good evening, and welcome to the Tuesday, November 20th, 2012 regular board meeting of the trustees for San Luis Coastal Unified School District. The board met in closed session to discuss a stipulated expulsion. Do we have a consensus on the order of business? We do. Okay. Dr. Eisendrath Rogers will be back with us shortly. She had a family emergency. Let's go ahead and we'll do action on closed session items. Would someone like to make a motion on that, please?
You're talking about
the closed session item. Someone would like to make a motion on that?
On student A, I move the stipulated expulsion. Is that correct? On student
yes.
A?
Yes. Uh-huh. Would somebody like to second that?
I'll second.
Motion by Mr. Quesenberry and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Is there any discussion on that? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, it carries 5-0 with one abstention. Let's move on to item number 4.03, approval of the minutes. Is there anybody that would like to make a motion on the approval of the minutes?
I would move that we approve the minutes of the November 6th regular board meeting.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on that one? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 7-0. Let's move on to item number 5.01. We have somebody here from San Luis Obispo High School. Welcome.
Thank you. First and foremost, I'm not the usual representative. That is Kai Maloney. He'd like to apologize. He cannot be here tonight. I am instead. My name is Scott Hicks. I'm the junior class president at San Luis Obispo High School's ASB. So to begin, our theater program, our drama club, recently finished their six-night production of The Importance of Being Earnest, and it turned out great. I went to the third show, and there was a huge crowd. I think it was about 3/4 on the third night. We got new seats from the Little Theater. They're comfortable. They recline, so that was a nice donation. And next, FFA finished their canned food drive. The number one class that won brought in 200 cans by themselves, so that was a huge accomplishment. Kai brought up that we were doing a miracle minute at the last board meeting, and I'm not sure of the exact total of what it brought in ASB. A lot of new clubs are submitting forms, so that's great for the school. And that seems about it for the San Luis Obispo High School report.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Scott. And as we tell everybody, we welcome you to stay here. And if you'd like to stay and participate in any of the discussions we have, absolutely feel free to. Just put your light on or raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Otherwise, we do understand that a lot of times there are things that you got to do or that you prefer to do. And so we'll understand if you need to leave. So thank you very much for the report.
Thank you.
Let's move on to public comment. We have a lot of folks that have requested to speak. I think many of them are regarding the junior high school proposal, and we're going to wait on those until, unless you prefer to speak now, we'll wait on those until the item actually comes up for presentation later. Okay? So, Mr. Buckman.
Thank you. We have a request by Stephen Click. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Steve Click, and I'm.
We'll get you on.
I'm not on a button.
The red light. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Steve Click, and I'm a member of the California Retired Teachers Association. A local division is Division 23, which covers the San Luis Coastal and the Lucia Mar school districts. We have about 350 members, of which one's right over here, Jim, and 350 local members that are not necessarily from the two districts that we cover, but have come from mostly from the two districts, but I come from Alaska, so we come from other places also. We have about 350 members, And in the last year, we probably were able to have over 18,000 hours of volunteer time, which covers about $400,000 that we helped other nonprofits in the county, especially the south part of the county. And we also were had our own program for the Prop 30, and we're very happy that that did pass, and it will be helping districts across the state. One of the things that we thought of in recognition is to have a newer teacher mini grant, and we were able to use some of our own funds for membership, and also some of our traveling retired teachers go through a company and they send back some money, and we came up with $800. Between the two districts, we decided that we would split it evenly and offer four $100 mini grants to newer teachers, teachers who had been in the classroom either their first, second, or third year, knowing that expenses for teachers are great wherever you are in your career, let alone the beginning and starting of your career. And so we put out a very simple application. We had, I think, 14 different teachers here in the district apply. Basically their name, what school, subject, how many years they've been teaching. And the winners that we had was just pulled randomly. It was Megan Wheatson from Morro Bay High, Kelly Colacogno from Los Ranchos, Brittany Manning from C.L. Smith, and Lindsay Foster from Monarch Grove. We've been able to go to each of those schools to a staff meeting and present the check to them, thanking them for choosing to be a teacher and knowing that they'll have a wonderful career, although very, very different than the career that I started back in 1971. Part of our goal as an association is to also represent retired teachers and to make sure and preserve the retirement system here in California. And often we're a standalone group. We're not part of CTA, the California Teachers Association. We're not part of that. And often we let teachers know that as they're moving towards retirement that my time's up. Thank you very much.
Let's hope. Well, let's first of all, let's hope that when you move toward retirement, your time is not up. But thank you so much, and on behalf of the board and the teachers, we really appreciate that. Is there anybody else that would like to address the board during public comment about an item that's not on the agenda? Okay, seeing no one, then I'll close public comment, and we'll move on to item number 6.01, and that would be official correspondence. Now, the board did receive a number of letters from people commenting on the proposal to move sixth graders to Los Osos Middle School. But official correspondence is defined as something that goes to the president of the board or to the Board of Education. But I want to assure everybody.
13-14, and so we await that with great anticipation to see the impact on future funding of Proposition 30. In terms of creating revenues from taxes, the sales tax that was passed, and how that might impact us. It's a different world out there right now, and there's a lot of questions and speculation, so we won't deal with that so much now. I think as we get through the process of learning things at the CSBA conference and hearing from our representatives in Sacramento, things will become clearer in the near future. So we'll probably have to be a little more patient to find out what happens out of Proposition 30. And at this point, that's what I've got.
Great, thank you. Any questions from Mr. Miller? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to item number 7.02, which is the proposal for a sixth grade program at Los Osos Middle School for 2013-2014. This is a first reading only. And so the board will be listening to different people about this. The board will not be voting on this item tonight. And yes, and I was going to say, thank you, Mr. Buckman. After the presentation from the staff, then we'll open it up for public comment, and then we'll go to the board for board comments. Okay? Dr. Pruitt, sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. Good evening, trustees, Dr. Prater, Mr. Robinette, Mr. Miller, Ms. Holmes, and our audience tonight. I would like to begin by recognizing some crucial contributors to this presentation. I'd like to thank many of you, our San Luis Coastal board members, for attending our feedback meetings over the last 2 months. Our planning team from Los Osos Middle School, comprised of existing 7th and 8th grade teachers, our district 6th grade teachers, many of whom attended an afternoon meeting to provide their thoughts and opinions on the components of an effective 6th grade program, our district leadership for giving us the opportunity to develop and propose such an innovative and exciting opportunity for our kids. And I'd also like to personally thank my assistant principal, Mr. Carl Bloom, for his support. Each of you tonight, including the public, have a comprehensive guide explaining all of the components of the proposed sixth grade program, as well as answers to frequently answered questions that were shared with us by parents during our series of informational forums at Monarch Grove, Baywood, Del Mar, and a meeting for Teach and Pacheco parents at Los Osos Middle School. This presentation will further synthesize the important components of our proposal and provide information supporting the multiple reasons our district leadership and I feel this is an incredible opportunity for our incoming sixth graders. It is our goal in San Luis Coastal Unified School District that all children, like a tree, will grow to their fullest and brightest potential. If you could focus on the screen and follow along, at the root of our beliefs adopted by you as our school board to drive the decisions that we make in providing the best education possible for kids are the three foundations of our district initiatives: relevance, rigor, and relationships. Relevance. Understanding the district initiatives and the three foundation goals for our district, we must ensure that this proposed move of our sixth grade students on the coast to Los Osos Middle School supports and addresses those initiatives that we have identified to be the critical attributes of a successful school experience. We have created such a program. The Association of Middle Level Education created their own position paper in 2010 titled This We Believe. This document describes the nature of an educational program that reflects what research and vast experience have demonstrated to be best for 10 to 15-year-olds. The essential attributes determined by the AMLE of an education for young adolescents must be: 1, developmentally responsive, using the distinctive nature of young adolescents as the foundation upon which all decisions about school organizations, policies, curriculum, instruction, and assessments are made. 2, challenging, ensuring that every student learns and every member of the learning community is held to high expectations. 3, empowering, providing all students with the knowledge and skills they need to take responsibility for their lives, to address life's challenges, to function successfully at all levels of society, and to be creators of knowledge. And 4, equitable, advocating for and ensuring every student's right to learn and provide appropriately challenging and relevant learning opportunities for every student. To further validate our proposal of a 6-8 program, a quote from this seminal AMLE document clearly addresses the concerns of some regarding sixth graders at the middle school. The quote reads, "What 10 to 14-year-olds have in common is their lack of commonality. All of the first Turning Points report and recommendations published in 1989 called on middle schools to transmit a core of common, substantial knowledge to all students in ways that foster curiosity, problem-solving, and critical thinking, all specific attributes of a STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics program. Taking center stage, Act 2 also validates the proposal of a 6-8 middle school program by stating more than 40 years of research reports that developmentally, students in grades 6, 7, and 8 have more in common in terms of physical, psychological, social, and intellectual development than do those in other age grade combinations. Fifth grade students typically have not yet crossed the threshold of early adolescence. These students' develop readiness is more closely linked with students in grade 4. Ninth grade students tend to identify emotionally and intellectually with students in grades 10 to 12. Rigor. With the guidance of the district initiatives, the data collected from the Association of Middle-Level Education and Taking Center Stage Act 2, California Department of Education's seminal document on middle schools, both of which validate the 6-8 grade configuration, my personal knowledge of middle school education and the feedback of our 5th grade parents, existing staff, and 6th grade teachers, we have developed a 6th grade program that is innovative, it's age appropriate, it's engaging, and most importantly, rigorous, centered around the core concepts of STEAM. So why STEAM and why now? STEAM allows for students to continue to learn in the traditional educational subject matters, but also teaches them to become lifelong learners who are much more capable of being functionally literate in an ever-advancing and changing society. Our program here at Loams will create knowledgeable students who will shape the next generation and keep education going, and who know how to use teamwork to evaluate needs. Students want and need the opportunity to be informed users, responders, and innovators. Again, our program at Los Osos Middle School will provide these opportunities. Please enjoy watching this video of a 5-8 STEAM program that can provide more of a visual representation of what our students are poised to experience in their 6th grade year at Los Osos Middle School. This video is student created. Relationship initiatives adopted by the board to guide the instruction and social program we offer for our students. Initiative 1, all means all. Increase the achievement of all students and provide innovation to all students. Initiative 2, a culture of care. All students feel safe, engaged, and respected and valued at Los Osos Middle School. Initiative 5, develop a STEAM program. This program will serve as a model middle school STEAM program, and our 6th graders will be the first to experience that. Initiative 6, accelerated and specialized learning opportunities. This program is research-based, specialized in its approach, and provides for accelerated learning opportunities for all students. Initiative 7, establish a data-rich culture. Teachers with a common prep time at the end of each day will have an unprecedented opportunity to plan, create, and encourage each other to help all students to be successful. And Initiative 8, Classroom of the Future. The classroom standard of excellence will be redefined and realized in this district through the implementation of this program and the one-to-one initiative technology encompassed within the program. I will use the proposed Bell schedule for the Los Osos Middle School 6th grade program design to describe the components of the daily program. Interviews will be conducted, and a team of 6th grade teachers will be hired from within our current district teaching staff. We will specifically be looking for teachers who have the social, emotional, developmental skills, the tech skills, and the energy appropriate for our 6th grade students. There already has been great interest among teachers about teaching in this program. Students grade 6 through 8 will all begin their day at 8:10 a.m. with a common advisory period to hear the bulletin, talk about character development, and make that crucial connection with an adult on campus. 6th graders who are interested in playing in a band will have the opportunity to do so during our zero period. Students will be assigned to one 6th grade teacher as they would at the current elementary schools. Two core learning blocks will allow teachers to teach English language arts and social studies and mathematics and science. Students who need to take advantage of a higher or lower level math class will potentially meet with another teacher during math time. Students will also be able to take advantage of a real science classroom equipped with extensive science equipment. The STEAM wheel is incredibly innovative and like any daily classroom experience within our district. Each 6th grader will take part in a series of six-week elective courses, much like those listed in your handbook that you have tonight, including music for all 6th graders. Each classroom will be outfitted with Wi-Fi access and a device available to every individual student as another learning tool. Nutrition and lunch will be separate from 7th and 8th graders, allowing for our 6th graders to have full access to the lunchrooms, outside tables, and all playgrounds on their own. After lunch recess, students will work with their teachers for a 15-minute period on elementary AVID skills, such as organization, note-taking, responsible use of technology, social development, etc. The students will end each of their days with PE. Students will not dress out. Having all students at PE at the same time allows for all 6th grade teachers to have a common, shared prep, a critical component of an effective STEAM program. 6th graders will be released at 2:50 p.m., 5 minutes earlier than 7th and 8th grade students. Our hope is that parents will continue to volunteer throughout the day in our 6th grade classrooms. Relationships, student safety, and a culture of care. We are very excited about having the opportunity to expand our relationships with students from only 2 years to 3 years. In the 5-3-4 model, 5 years in elementary, 3 years in middle, and 4 years in high school, students will have more time to feel a part of a safe, supportive, innovative community. Character development is a primary focus at Los Osos Middle School. The addition of 6th graders to our campus will only bolster and strengthen our character development program. We focus on a character trait each month, talk about the attributes of each character trait, and recognize those students who are growing into responsible school members. For those parents who are concerned about Los Osos Middle School being a safe environment, I can say with absolute confidence that it is for all students. Essentially, the 5th and 6th grade students at each coastal school will be coming to the middle school together. This only serves to strengthen our culture of care and lessen the concerns of safety of our fifth grade parents. There can be no argument that effective teachers are the core, the tree trunk, we might say, of any effective learning environment. I would like to introduce Ms. Emily O'Brien and Mr. James McMillan, both upper grade elementary teachers in this district, as well as Mr. Carl Bloom, who is filling in tonight for Ms. Amy Burris, teacher at Los Osos Middle School. Each will demonstrate existing technology in a very small sampling of how technology is used as an effective tool in our classrooms and how technology will be a critical component to the learning of your sixth grade student in the one-to-one device initiative in this proposed program.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here tonight. I'm a fifth grade teacher currently at right here at Del Mar Elementary School. Is this okay? And I'm going to talk to you tonight briefly about an app that I use currently in my classroom. This year, we are piloting a program using iPads for multiple subjects. And it's just going to take me a minute here to move an audio source cable to switch over. While I am demonstrating an app for you tonight, we have our iPads here for you to take a look at and kind of explore with, and I'm going to show you how to get to the app if you are interested in sampling this and going along with us. If you want to maybe raise your hand, or we can get one to you. Okay. Oh, thank you. That's okay. No, we're okay. Okay. We use a lot of technology in fifth grade at Del Mar, actually. And one of the things that is really great to have students do is to become teachers themselves, because that truly is the most powerful way to show your learning. I'm going to be taking you through... this is our classroom website, or for my classroom. And students have recently been posting some lessons that they have done themselves from iPad land. So I'm just going to head over here and make some choices here. And the app that's being used here is called EduCreations. And it's a free app. So if you have an iPad at home or an iPhone, even you can... actually get that if you're interested.
Shapes are alike and different. This one is different because it has 8 sides. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And this one has 4. You should pick your own.
Wait, is it?
This octagon is regular.
No!
And this one is irregular. This shape has 2 parallel lines.
This one has 8 sides.
And this one has many.
Right here.
This green one also has intersecting lines. And so does this one. And right here. And right here, and so on. Now you know the pros and cons of these shapes. Now you know the differences.
Very good. So special thanks to Maya for that lesson. EduCreations is an interactive whiteboard. It's an interactive whiteboard, and we can capture our own voices, our own images, and our own handwriting to produce these lessons that are teaching our learning in our own individual ways. And students are actually able to go and review any videos that they need to multiple times. So if a student would like to hear it using different vocabulary, or hear it from a friend, or what I often do is I will go ahead and introduce a new way to solve a problem, and I'll go ahead and write a lesson. And then I'll post it on the website so that a student can watch it at home with their parents, so that a student can watch it at home and actually literally, you know, go back and rewind and hear a part as many times as they choose. So it's actually kind of nice. Adults are able to use this too. I want to show you another quick lesson that is by our own Chris Unger.
The one on the left is me.
Hello? Oh, there we go. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm substituting today, and the substitutes always have a tough job, but I'm covering for Miss Amy Burris, who uses this innovative system in her classroom called the Clickers. And, you know, in the classroom of the past, teachers would ask for information from students by a raise of the hands. And a lot of times students can hide behind their hand. Sure, they put their hand up, I understand what's going on. Well, the Clicker is a great new tool that she's been using in her math classroom for many years now. So what I'm going to do is, some of you have been handed a Clicker, and I'd like you to pick it up right now. And I'm going to give you a quick lesson on how to use a Clicker. And then we're going to test your knowledge. So the first thing, at the bottom of the Clicker, you notice a blue button. So I need you all to push the blue button, and on will come your Clicker. And you all have a number, and they're all given a various name, but that's not important tonight. So what happens is she starts in with her her lesson, and she's going to talk about using the Clicker. So the first thing we're going to do is take a survey. And since we all love it here up on the North Coast, where's the best place to be in Estero Bay? And this is an opinion survey, so there's no right or wrong answer. So with your Clicker, you're going to punch in either letter A, B, C, or D. And when you punch it in, there's a blue arrow button, right, the second row from the top, and push that when you've done. So I'm going to start the question here, and as the teacher, I can circulate around the room, as you can see. And I'll start this question. Whoops, what do we got going here? I think I'm going to start this question. Well, I got a little bit of a snafu here, and this is where... You got it? Okay. So enter your letter and hit enter. And we're going to try and take a look here. Everybody got their answers in? Your favorite place? Okay. So I'm going to go to stop. And when I take a look at this... I think I'm going to see that 13 people like Montana de Oro the best, 6 liked Los Osos Middle School the best, that's a good thing, and 5 liked going to Morro Rock, but nobody picked the Elvin Forest, if I'm correct. So as, once again, as the teacher, I can circulate around the class, and we can begin to discuss conversations about the different questions. So we'll go on here to another question real quick. Another type of measurement we can do is basic knowledge. So here is question number 2. Okay, and question number 2 is, what is the zip code of Los Osos Middle School? So you can just enter in the number.
Ask a friend.
You could ask a friend, or you could dial a friend, I think. Everybody has a cell phone, so we can go down that road. And so at this point, I'm going to stop the question because there's a time limit on the questions. We'll stop the question, and we'll take a look here and see what we get. And 17 people picked 93402, which is the correct answer. One person picked 03. And as the teacher, I can look on my results piece here, and I can see the names of all the students that got the questions. And I can walk over... And I can begin to maybe realize that that student's not connecting with what's going on and watch what's happening. So it's a direct connect to students, and you figure out immediately in your class. You can even have it by seating chart to see which students know and where they are sitting in class. And then you can begin to work with them at the base level of maybe reteaching based on a certain number of kids. So we're going to go to two more questions real quick. The next question... is, what year was Los Osos Middle School built? Okay, so I'm going to start this question. Okay, enter your answer, please, A or B. I'm seeing that about the crowd is at about 52, getting better, 55. I get a live action feed here that shows me as it's coming in. Okay, it looks like everybody's about done, so I'm going to stop the question. 54% of the class got the question right. So as far as, you know, reemphasizing a point, this would be something we would probably go back over and focus on with kids that, you know, didn't understand or have this reteachable moment. Oh, the answer is B, 1977. Okay, next question. Going back to then, 1930, what Okay, and if you're a test taker, then this is a dead giveaway, I just say that. Okay? I'm looking for 100% here, 100% on this one. All right, so I'm going to shut this down here. And you take a look at your, I think we got them all in. Take a look at your clicker, see if you got it right or wrong, and the answer is E. Incredible, 95.57%. So this is the thing called the MOBI, and Ms. Burris uses this daily in her math class. Now, there's a way to actually write on the slides, and I'm not going to even attempt that because you won't understand my hieroglyphics. It's a skill that she's mastered, but this thing allows great teacher interaction, great connection with students, and it's a piece of technology that she's been using in this school district for several years, and these clickers have now evolved. And I think one of the things I was just remembering is that these clickers are used by a lot of college professors, because if we think back to the college experience that many of us had, you sit in there, you get a lecture, and you walk away. Well, now college professors are using these for attendance. They're using them for instant feedback and finding out if what they're trying to get across is even being understood. So it's a great connect all the way to future higher learning. So I'm going to leave it with that, and I'm going to transfer over here to Mr. McMillan.
Good evening, everyone, members of the board, district administration, and audience. I briefly want to point out two areas of technology that are being used at Los Ranchos Elementary School. I teach fourth grade this year, and I have the opportunity to lead some of my other upper grade teachers in a pilot program using iPads and a couple other high-tech devices that we're really finding out just how powerful they are at engaging students and increasing student achievement. The first is an app that allows me to control my computer from anywhere in the room via my iPad, and I can see whatever is showing through my projector through my computer on my iPad. At first, I started using this as a teacher tool, and so did many teachers at my site, and then we realized, what are we doing with the device in our hand and annotating and drawing? The students can do the same thing. So often, you'll walk in an upper grade classroom at Los Ranchos, and both students and teacher will be up, and whatever learning they're engaged in, such as just how far is Big Daddy's Pizza from the center of Los Osos? Students, I'm hungry, and my lunch hour is only going to allow me to travel, say, 1,500 meters. Remember, students, that there's a critical part of a map program that tells you the distance on a map, and I'd like you all to figure out if I'm going to be able to make it to Big Daddy's and back in the 45 minutes I have for lunch. Go ahead. So we do a lot of learning this way, and often I will walk out to the students at their seats, and they're the ones that want to be the ones drawing and showing and annotating. So this allows for annotation, demonstration, and best of all, I can record, and so can students, anything that we are learning for playback later, such as Emily demonstrated, which really helps the students that don't get things the first time, helps for reteaching. The second thing I'd like to demonstrate real quick is what the students refer to as the Jumbotron. If you could switch the input to the Apple TV. One part of this device is that you can mirror anything that's shown on here, whether it's an app or a Word document or photo or video, and you can mirror it from the device to the screen. We figured out early on that it's powerful to demonstrate the use of an app or to show student work or video, but also if you use the camera feature, you have a class Jumbotron. And what it really does is allows me as the teacher, and I normally don't try and walk with it while the camera is because that gets all jumpy, to check student work and to demonstrate student work in case we're confused in the middle of a lesson. So I asked a couple members of our audience to tell me the first words that come to mind when they think of lovely Los Osos, which I had the pleasure of living in for 4 years with my wife. So I'm going to go over to these students, and I can just demonstrate and show the whole class what the group is thinking. So student over here, oh, beautiful. And I agree, Los Osos is a beautiful place. This student feels that it's friendly. Okay, and here we have quaint. Good, now moving on back here, the Jumbotron, you get a chance to show your work. Community, beautiful.
Albert Einstein, who said, "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kyle. And before we move on to people who'd like to comment about the program, I wanted to thank Emily, James, and Carl for the presentation this evening.
Absolutely.
It was really helpful and helped us visualize what was going on. We're going to go to the public now, and there's just a couple of things I want to let you know about. The first thing is we have a number of people who would like to speak. Our time limit is going to be strictly 3 minutes. If you try to speak longer than 3 minutes, I'm going to ask you to stop. So please be courteous. We have a lot of people that have a lot of things to say tonight. The second thing is, our experience has been that people tell us the same things over and over again. We will be very attentive listeners to you. I want to assure you of that. If you want to say the same thing that someone else has said, we would ask you to think about that and make your comments brief, because we will have heard it the first time. So please just know that we're going to be listening to you. The board will not engage you in discussion tonight. The board is here to listen tonight. We won't ask you questions. We're just going to listen. And let's see, there was the final thing. Mr. Buckman will call up two people at one time. And the other thing you can do that's really helpful for us is if you hear things that you agree with, just raise your hand, and that way we get a visual of who you're thinking about and what you're thinking about and what points you agree with. So that's also very helpful for us. Okay? So, Mr. Buckman.
Thank you. And when I'm calling up two people at a time, what we're going to request is that one of you come up to start speaking and maybe somebody stand back on the blue line, and so we can get through this so as many people as possible can get to speak as quickly as possible. Thank you. And I just spilled my coffee, so I'm going to try very hard to pay attention. So our first speaker would be Tom Mulan. Mulan? I'd also like to apologize in advance as I butcher your names. And the second speaker would be Carla Savage Sachs.
Hello, Tom Moylan, Los Osos. Thank you, board, for this opportunity to talk about the sixth grade program. I have a third grader and a fifth grader at Baywood. And so when this program was first proposed, we heard about it in October for the first time. I think the way it was presented at first, we kind of heard about it in fits and starts, and it caught a lot of us off guard. I think a lot of us went into a naturally defensive mechanism. At least myself, I felt, what is this? What is this program? What are they going to do as far as moving my fifth grader next year? We like Baywood. Our kids have done great there. It's a great school. Listening to Dr. Pruitt's presentations at our school, visiting Los Osos Middle School, I'm becoming more and more encouraged by this program. I think the STEM and STEAM initiatives are exactly what our students need. So I'm quite encouraged by that. I think there's two things that have concerned me from the beginning with this. One is the timeline, that it can get done in time. Dr. Pruitt is sure he can do it. So so that if it's started soon enough, I think that's crucial, that this is started in a timely manner, so this can get done by August. It's already into November. So the second is budget, and this is a fantastic initiative, but if it's not funded adequately, if we don't support it correctly to the full amount, especially in the technology area, then it's going to be all for naught. So the technology, I think, is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful tool, but it needs a heavy amount of support, and that starts with financial support. The staff has to be supported at a competitive wage, that they can be there to support the students to learn this technology, to acquire it. So I think I'll end my comments there and say thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Weiland.
So we're looking at Carla Savage-Sachs. Can come on up to, and then on deck is Ronnie Shaw.
Good evening. Nice to see you again. I was here, not here, but at the other meeting on November 6th, so I'm equally nervous, so bear with me. Just really quickly, so I'm a mom at Monarch Grove. Two kids at Monarch Grove Elementary School, and just no offense to the clicker, but let me just quote an Albert Einstein. What is a year, you ask? And I reply in the budding of my 11th or 12th year. It is my time to finally shine. I am now a leader for my school. I am getting ready to leave the first of my academic nests, preparing to say goodbye to elementary school, making sure I leave behind my best to all the rest who will follow in my footsteps, hoping that I now have the tools for my own success, security, and self-confidence to join a new family, my middle school years, where together with others of like mind and body, I shed my childhood skin and step into the clothes of a young man or woman. What is a year, you ask? It is everything to me. It is one more year to be a kid right alongside other kids. It is one more year where time is slow, where talk of grades, popularity, and the pressures to succeed are softened by the joyous shrills of our younger family members, our primary grade friends, playing tag, hula hooping, digging for water in the sand pile of our great playground, reminding us that play is still the primary tool for raising happy and healthy kids. What is a year, you ask? And I reply, it's what I'm asking to get one more of from all of you tonight. Please let our children stay children for one more year in this district's family of schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Sosa-Sachs.
And after Ronnie would be Lizelle O'Brien.
My name is Ronnie, and I have two kids at Monarch Grove Elementary School. And I'm actually reading something that a fellow parent wrote, but I think it speaks on behalf of what many parents from Monarch Grove are thinking, not all, but most. And this is what we believe. Don't try to fix what is not broken. Monarch Grove is an excellent school. Test scores continue to rise. The accelerated reader program has done wonders for our kids. Writer's Workshop is making advances. Life is good. Kids are getting a great education, and they are being allowed to develop throughout the course of their full elementary experience. Their current sixth grade program gives them the opportunity for leadership in their school community that I feel they would lose entirely if this new plan is implemented. We had an opportunity to talk to Dr. Skoulis briefly about this proposal, and one thing that he said to me really stuck. He stated that the sixth graders start the school year as little kids, but they end it as big kids. Having spent a significant amount of time on campus, we would agree. The point being, please, let them be little kids until they are ready to be big kids. Adolescence is an unattractive period in human development, and we believe that we would all agree that kids are growing up faster these days. We should be doing what we can to keep them developmentally stable and grounded in their youth for as long as possible. The transition to junior high is fine for some and horrible for others. To put the stress of that transition on those who will find it difficult, regardless another year earlier seems unfair. The question is to integrate or not to integrate. As we have watched the evolution of this plan, we have seen Dr. Pruitt address many concerns that the parents have being separated on the campus. We would like to express a concern about this segregation from a personal perspective. It seems to be well known that it is difficult to create a sense of community on any junior high campus in light of the fact that students are only there for a short period of time, thus preventing them from fully investing in their community. If you take all of our sixth graders away from a campus they are invested in, move them to a campus where they will essentially be off on their own little sixth grade bubble, thinking that this will give them an additional year to invest in the campus, and then hope that it provides them with a greater sense of community in the seventh and eighth grade, I think we're missing the point. They will have spent a year alone amongst themselves with no school, really, to attach themselves to. Children are not growing up in one-year framework. They play soccer on teams with different age ranges. They have friends in grades above and below them. If you truly feel that they are developmentally and emotionally ready for the jump to junior high, then they should be ready, not kind of, sort of, or partly ready. Thank you for all your patience with our points and careful attention to this matter. You'll be making a choice that will impact the lives of our children for years to come. Please make sure that it is a solid, long-term answer to the current problems.
Thank you very much, Ronnie.
I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Lisa O'Brien.
Can you hang on just a second, yes. Lisa? We just want to announce the next person.
It would be Rachel Conjoyan.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm Lisa O'Brien, and I am also a Monarch Grove parent, and I have my fourth child attending there, and she is a fifth grader, so this would affect her next year. And I do not want her attending middle school a year earlier than she needs to. Adolescence is such an awkward time where students are trying to figure
to make. One, I was going to comment on all of the sightings on how junior high kids, sixth graders, are more like seventh and eighth graders. I think that may be true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they will be best served educationally by being pooled together. Because if that were the case, then kindergartners would not be able to be served as well at a school with third graders. So that reasoning I wasn't really following. I think that the sixth graders at Monarch Grove aren't really floundering because they're in adolescence. I think they're flourishing there. And secondly, it seems like this has been proposed before. That's what I've heard. And it wasn't well received by the parents. And I think that what makes it different this time is the STEAM program that may be of sound appealing to people. So I just wanted to re-express my concern because of our state financial situation. And I'm guessing that San Luis doesn't have in the district a lot of extra funds. So I'm concerned that we're going to be pushing the STEAM program to encourage this sixth grade at the junior high school, and then the funding won't be there down the road. Even if it's there next year, does that mean it's going to be there for my other two children in the future that are going to be coming to Los Osos Middle School?
Great. Thank you very much.
Following Matt will be Andrea Buley, if I got that right. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Hi, my name is Matt Green. I have two young daughters at Monarch, one in kindergarten and one in fourth grade. And I appreciate the work that Dr. Pruitt and Mr. Blum have done. I think, you know, like I told them both personally, I can't wait to see him. I don't want to see him until seventh grade. And as I basically just want to go over with a couple other points, the letter that I sent you guys. My family has been in education. My mother has been a teacher and a principal for her entire life, and I talked to her about this, and she said it can be done, but it's difficult to do right. And my major concerns, one of them is I don't think that this is the best choice for sixth graders, either educationally or behaviorally. And the study that I came upon was a 2007 Duke study that followed sixth graders throughout the state, and it showed that by the end of sixth grade and through ninth grade, which was as far as they followed them, that they had lower test scores and more discipline problems than their elementary school peers. They persisted through ninth grade, and the report went on to say that, quote, the disadvantage associated with moving to middle school in sixth grade is roughly equivalent to the disadvantage associated with having an inexperienced rather than experienced teacher for a year. So I think that that's a pretty damning statement, and while I appreciate the what is attempting to be set up, I don't think that, I think as Dr. Pruitt said in one of the meetings we had, this isn't better, it's just different. And our kids are thriving now at Monarch. So I don't see, personally, I don't see how this, which appears to be a temporary fix or a Band-Aid fix for a larger population problem, that's not going to be district-wide. So if it's not such a great program that you're not going to do it district-wide and it's not going to solve the overall population problem, which is only getting better, then I don't see why it makes sense either for the educational development of our kids or for the overall health of the district. So, and in closing, again, I look forward to seeing you guys. I think the tour that we have in campus, I think it's awesome. It's like, because I had a horrible middle school experience, and a lot of people that I know did as well, and I don't think that my kids will have that. But what we have right now is better for our little kids that are not quite ready to be in middle school yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
Following would be Jill Ulate.
Hi, my name is Andres Ulate. I'm a parent of a fourth grade Correct. Student and two first grade students at Monarch. And I think a lot of my comments have already been said, but I just wanted to reiterate the fact that I feel that there was something a little missing in the communication of information to the parents. And I wish you could have employed some of your more technologically savvy teachers to help out with that, posting stuff on websites, getting stuff. I mean, there was clearly quite a bit of research done that the board is using to guide their decisions. And it would have been nice to have the parents be privy to some of that research. And maybe we still can be. The safety aspect of the environment that they're going into, but more their emotional readiness to be engaged in that environment. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So next up would be Patty Reveille.
Good evening. My name is Jill Ulate. I am the parent of three children at Monarch Elementary. And I object to the proposed pilot program for the following reasons. Sixth grade is already a time marked by much change for our kids, both physically and emotionally. The sixth grade program at Monarch provides stability, a place and an environment that our kids are already familiar with, a setting that is comfortable when so many other things seem out of a child's control. I believe that an important part of being ready for middle school is about being ready to make good choices. A strong sense of self, conviction, and confidence are important attributes that will help our kids make good choices in middle school. The sixth grade program at Monarch allows another year in a comfortable, nurturing environment for our kids to further gain confidence and develop better judgment that will be critically needed in the more mature middle school environment. I understand that there are some advantages for sixth graders at the middle school, including access to more advanced classes, technology, electives, and so on. However, my feeling is that if a child feels anxious due to a stressful social environment, it doesn't matter how many computers, bells, or whistles you provide. The child will not be in a ready-to-learn state of mind. Why aren't other alternatives being explored? I understand that there are critical space issues that need to be addressed at Baywood and Del Mar elementary schools, but Monarch has plenty of space. Why not explore the feasibility of an alternative that retains the sixth grade program at Monarch? This has been done successfully in other school districts. A couple of process points. I feel that this has not been a robust community-based process. It's been difficult to locate information. The last meeting was held on the night of the presidential election. Tonight's meeting is being held the night before a five-day school holiday when many families go out of town for Thanksgiving. Our schools also have many Spanish-speaking families, and has there been any bilingual outreach or effort to contact everyone who may be impacted by this change? I'm hoping that this is the start of a larger, more inclusive community dialogue about how to best resolve capacity needs over the long term in a more sustainable way. Lastly, I discussed the proposal with our fourth grade daughter. She will begin sixth grade at age 10. Her reaction was this. I'm already scared of the big fifth and sixth grade kids, so going with the seventh and eighth graders for sixth grade doesn't sound so good. I'm excited for sixth grade camp, and I really want to have Mr. Jarvis or Mr. Hotelling as teachers. I've heard that they're really fantastic, and they have a great astronomy program and a really cool radio program. I'm really looking forward to sixth grade at Monarch.
Thank you, Mrs. Ulate.
So, following Mrs. Reveille will be Rich Burley.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Patty Reveille, full-time mom, full-time volunteer. I am a Del Mar PTA president, and I am the Los Osos Middle School treasurer. I just want to tell you how welcomed I feel when I'm at Los Osos Middle School. I don't have a child there, but they welcome me to every event and, well, every day that I can. My oldest daughter started there 3 years ago. I felt nervous, you know, my big girl's going away. But when I walked in the doors, they were, come help, be there, enjoy it. And I appreciate the administration and the staff there for that. I've attended a few of Dr. Pruitt's questions and answer meetings, and I believe the administration at Loam's has done their diligence trying to make everybody feel, you know, comfortable doing this. So just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Reveille.
Is Rich Burley here? Okay. We're going to go on to Patty Andreen. Allison Graves. I'm sorry. I need Allison Graves first. Thank you, Pat.
Sorry, Patty.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for having us. I don't have any prepared comments. I didn't intend to speak, but I just wanted to voice my concerns. I'm actually a parent of a Teach elementary student, and I live here in Morro Bay. He's a tentative kid who doesn't like surprises, and I have no idea next year if he's going to Teach or Del Mar or Loam's or what's going to happen with his education. And I was at a social event for the kids at Teach recently, and some of those parents were going, well, they're going to make all the Morro Bay kids go to Loam's, so maybe there'll be enough room for us to stay here at Teach, and everyone's all confused and everyone's all upset there.
If you want to refer to my middle school picture, you'll see that my middle school years were not that great either.
And last would be Patty Andreen, please.
Good evening. Patty Andreen. I'm a former member who was privileged to sit with his board. And I can't quote Albert Einstein, but I can quote Yogi Berra and Walt Millar. It's deja vu all over again. We did look at a proposal. It was another superintendent whom I very much respected, who said this was an educationally sound decision, good for kids. You now have another superintendent whom I very much respect. I don't think this has anything to do with just warehousing kids in a different building. I think that the board will look at this from the standpoint of what's educationally sound. I know you will. You all have kids that have gone through here. I've had a kid that's gone through here. This is a very big decision for all of you. And I haven't talked to a lot of you, but I know that probably it's one of the hardest decisions that you've been faced with recently. And I just want to encourage you to do what you think is best and to, of course, listen to the concerns. But everybody likes progress, but nobody likes change. And I think that you will hear a lot of anxiety from parents who don't feel comfortable with the kinds of changes that are being proposed. But I hope that each of you will think about you, your own kids, your knowledge of the district, your belief in the recommendations of your administrators and your belief in the tremendous work that's been done to put together a program that looks really great and make the decision that you think is best. And I support you for your efforts. I also support the parents because I do remember the trepidation that we had before our only daughter. I mean, I'm a mom of one, so, you know, we obsess over everything. We got to get it right the first time because that's our only chance. I was worried about her going to middle school. As it turns out, you know, it was a good time. She did get a little bit of experience with the real world, but I think it made her stronger. And so they're all going to have to go through it. And we have to sometimes make the decisions that are tough when we sit on these boards. I respect all of you, and I know you'll do the thing that you think is best.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Andreen. And that's all the requests we have to speak on this item. You could come on up, and you can have 3 minutes. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, good evening, Board Administration. My name is Paul Irving. I want to thank you guys all for taking the time to hear me out at all the different forums. As I try to dig in, I appreciate Dr. Prater over here and indulging me in a detailed back and forth on it, so thank you. Okay, in a nutshell, I can't really say a whole lot that hasn't already been said tonight, but in a nutshell, I oppose the project because I fear for my daughter's safety, and I would love to give her one more year at Monarch Grove, which is a known quantity and almost a 100% shot at success. I don't know what this middle school project holds, nor do any of us so far. As another comment that I wanted to make is the one thing that makes Monarch Grove so strong is of the parents' involvement and the community involvement. And the way this project was rolled out, it was rumors at first, and then here's the project. And if you want to learn about it, we're going to have some informational sessions about it, and we're going to tell you about it, and we're going to talk about steam wheels, and we're going to talk about buzzwords, and we're going to talk about what a fantastic program it is. Well, at the last meeting I went to over at Baywood, Dr. Pruitt had let us know that there have not been other alternatives that have been explored. This is one idea, and we don't even still know exactly why it's being presented or what exactly it's supposed to solve. And I know for myself and a whole bunch of other parents, we would love to sit down in an open forum and help you try to figure out what the real solution is. In my estimation, it looks really, really hasty to me. You guys are going to get together in 2 weeks and have a yes or no vote on yes, we like the program, no, we don't like the program. If you don't like the program, then you're back to square one, and that seems a little awkward. So anyway, in closing, I oppose it. I think it's being hasty, and I'm going to urge you guys to table that vote from your next meeting and give it some more thought and stew on it and let the community help you out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. One more person?
I mean, if this is working out. And I'm used to looking at a lot of RFPs and specifications, and I'm looking for the actual motion. I don't see the actual, what is your plan? It's a very good presentation, but I'm looking for really the specifications, how you're going to follow through on that plan, because this is not really more detail would be useful. And then I guess one critical thing would be, right now you have some things that you can look at, and that's it. You can look at the sixth grade performance at Monarch, and you can look at the seventh grade performance at the middle school. And that would be really helpful to me as a parent, because there's no question that I would like you to decide whichever school has been more successful, not which school is telling you they're going to be more successful. I don't actually know the answer to that. I'm just asking you to vote. Find out if the sixth grade performance at Monarch is better than the seventh grade performance at the middle school. I'm asking you now to vote to not make this change, because that shows you the benchmarks of who has really proven what they can do, not what they're saying they can do. And I think some improved outreach would be helpful, and some more input. And I guess really the one thing that I've heard from a number of the parents is, and that I don't truly understood, I read the whole document and the prior input, and I don't understand, I wrote down here, why? Everything I've read, I don't know why you're doing this. Are you doing it because you need to support the middle school? Are you doing it why are you doing this with Monarch School, which is not impacted? So more about the why, I think, needs to go out to the parents. So thank you very much, and good luck with your decision.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Burke. Okay. All right. Did you wish to speak? If you'd state your name, please.
My name is Frank Nolan, I oppose this proposal, but that's not the argument I want to make. I have two kids at Baywood. Mariel's in the first grade. Bobby's in fifth grade. Mariel, I'm not too worried about. I think that when it comes to fourth grade, Mariel will know that when she comes to fifth grade, this is going to be her last year at Baywood. The problem I have is with Bobby. Bobby has been told that this is his penultimate year at Baywood, that next year will be his terminal year. Well, all of a sudden, halfway through the year, Bobby's told, no, we're sorry, this is your last year. I think there's a real sense of betrayal there. I think that maybe betrayal is too strong a word, but he certainly feels like he's been misled. And I really feel like tonight that I only heard half of a proposal. The proposal that Dr. Pruitt gave was very well prepared, was excellent, but I only feel like I heard half. I heard that the argument that Dr. Pruitt is going to be able to accommodate these kids this academic year, September of 2013. What I didn't hear, that may be true, but I'm not prepared as a parent for this. And B, I don't think our kids have been prepared for this. I know mine certainly hasn't. And I'd like to hear the proposal for how our kids are going to be prepared to go to the middle school next year. And that is a process that should have began last September, you know, when school began. So I could see this happening in 2014-2015, but I think it is unfair, unreasonable for this to be happening 2013-2014. I want to thank you very much for hearing me tonight.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nolan.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Ford, and I have two daughters here at Del Mar Elementary. And I am actually four. I guess I'm kind of the only one. Maybe, well, a couple of us are that are here. But I am totally for this plan. And I just moved here from Kern County last year. And we have middle schools, and I'm used to that. It's not a new concept for me. I understand if it is a new concept for other families. But my husband and I, at first, we were excited that there was a sixth grade here and that my daughter would have an extra year in elementary school. But when this idea was proposed, my husband and I sat there and we talked about it. And I have listened to what Dr. Pruitt has presented, and I've thought it over, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? My daughter, who is she's a fifth grader this year, she has an opportunity to get a teacher who focuses purely on science. She has a teacher who focuses purely on specific subjects. And then I had to think about that, and I thought, well, you know what? There's virtually no interaction whatsoever. Now, are they going to be segregated? Is that going to be an issue? It could be. I'm not going to say that that's not an issue. But I love the idea that they did take that into consideration, that that is something that they are helping to avoid, is that scared sixth grader coming in, you know, having a confrontation with this scary, you know, eighth grader. That really is not going to happen. I looked at the schedules, you know, the sixth graders versus the seventh and eighth graders, and they don't overlap. Their lunches are at different times. They get out 5 minutes early. They can start walking ahead of the other ones. Will they share a bus? Yes.
what they ride the bus. But the overall picture, my daughter needs that extra year to kind of, it's kind of like cheating. It's not really junior high because they're not following that same exact schedule that the 7th and 8th graders are. It's kind of like a...
Yeah. Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. Okay. So, but they're getting an introduction as to what it is like to be a 7th grader, and I think that is very important for my daughter who's not organized and needs that extra help. Okay. So,
thank you.
Just a lot of pros. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please.
Good evening. I'm Cherish Ryan, and I have two little ones at Baywood Elementary, and I am PTA president over there. And we have a lot of pride over at Baywood, as you all know, and we love our school. But which is why when it was first brought to our attention, you know, a lot of people were very emotional over the thought of change. And I was too. But as I start to hear more and get excited about this program, I see that we have an opportunity on the Central Coast to start an amazing program. And my kids have the opportunity to be a part of that from the beginning. And that is a very exciting thing right there alone. I think that change is always hard, and our job as parents, it's our job to help transition the kids. You know, that part will come. If students are having a hard time, that's where we as parents can step in and help make it a good, positive change, I hope. And I just wanted to say that I wanted to speak for it. I think that the reason we hear a lot of the opposition is they have maybe feel like they have more to lose. If it doesn't go through, we're happy at our schools, so that's fine. So people aren't going to be as likely to speak out and come forward when we're for the program, maybe. But the opposing side has that sense of losing something and that change. So I just wanted to be able to step forward and speak for the program. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would you like to speak?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Laura Robinette, and I'm actually a graduate of the 6th grade program at Los Osos Middle School. I'm now in my senior year at college in Santa Barbara, so I just drove home for Thanksgiving. But I wanted to speak on behalf of the 6th grade program. For me, it was fantastic, and there are several reasons why. One is academically. Being at the middle school in 6th grade was so good for me. Being able to be opened up to these broad, new academic opportunities was so fantastic. I was an advanced student, and I had opportunities to take advanced math classes that I wouldn't have had I been at the elementary school. I realized that I loved science, and I had a teacher there who knew everything about science and was able to help me as I explored that avenue of my academic life. Secondly, I was a singer. And being at the middle school gave me the opportunity to be part of a fantastic music program at Los Osos Middle School. If you guys haven't been to the concerts for Los Osos Middle School, they're fantastic. The band and choir are so good. And 6th grade students being able to be part of that is such a good thing. 11 and 12-year-olds are starting to hone their interests and their talents. And just having those opportunities is just so valuable for those students. But I think the number one reason why a program of having 6th graders at the junior high is useful is, anecdotally, I didn't hate junior high. I loved junior high. It was so fun. Yeah. And I think one of the and I was awkward too. I was really, really awkward. And so it's not like I am one of those few students who just excelled socially. I didn't. But I think one of the reasons why I loved junior high was because I had that extra year of transition. Junior high wasn't a scary place for me. I had 3 years to gain friendships, to get to know my teachers, to get to know the administrators and the staff at the school, and that was comfortable for me. Early adolescence is this time that's shaky and unstable, and expecting students to transition into a school and transition out in 2 years just isn't fair. Having 3 years at the same school is so valuable for students who are in that kind of awkward phase.
6th grader, 7th grader, they're all together. They play on the soccer fields together. We cheer for both teams. We've all done parent participation together and some preschool together. I just feel like it's, as a community, we can support this, and our kids aren't going to feel segregated or left out. They're, when we asked our fourth grader about it, he was excited. He's ready. You know, oh, that sounds great. And I just wanted to say we support this.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? Okay, this is the last chance. All right, we're going to close the comment on this. We do, I am curious, how many people are here from Monarch Grove? If you'd raise your hand, please. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to bring this back to the board for board discussion and questions. So thank you again for your comments. Is there anybody from the board that would like to ask questions? Mr. Millar.
Well, while I don't necessarily want to respond to some of the things that were said, I do think it's important to kind of broaden the context a little bit. First of all, the previous 6th, 7th, 8th here at Loam's came about because Chris and I had the opportunity to make a vote to close 3 elementary schools in our first year on the board. The reason we closed those elementary schools is we were fiscally unable to maintain 200, 300 student elementary schools. We had to make decisions that impacted people in ways not dissimilar from some of the anxieties that you all have expressed about the proposed pilot program. So from my perspective, the program that was at Loam's before was incredibly successful. I was excited about it at the time, and we did it partly because we didn't want kids changing schools one year after another year. So if you understand, we would have closed, let's say, Morrow Elementary. A child would have had to have gone to a new school, and then if they were a fifth grader, and then the following year, or a sixth grader, and then the following year change schools again. So we were trying to lessen that impact. But what we found is we had an opportunity to offer these children so much more. I was disappointed when we decided not to continue it. So some of the anecdotes you may hear about the previous time we've done this may have more to do with the disappointment parents felt in the closing of their neighborhood school, a very difficult thing to go through. From my perspective, this isn't about budget. It isn't about impacted schools, elementary schools. It's about a underutilized resource at Los Osos Middle School that gives us an incredible opportunity to advance a program that is going to give sixth graders broadened opportunities. I mean, band, PE 5 days a week or 4 days a week, however it's going to work out, 5 days a week, thank you, to be able to drill down into science, technology, arts, math. I have my oldest son, who's 28 now and needed to do laundry tonight. He was an accelerated math learner. At C.L. Smith, we had to bring in a mom who happened to be a math teacher in order to give these kids an accelerated math opportunities. They had blown through the regular elementary curriculum, and they were bored. This is not about us forcing something that's bad for kids or shortchanging kids. This is an exciting opportunity. I may be telegraphing my general position on this. Your budget concerns, we would not embark on a program like this if we could not sustain it. And believe me, we do understand the budget. We live with it year after year, for me 12 years. So if the vote is to undertake this program, we will be able to sustain this program. Our teachers, administrators, and staff in this school district are some of the most wonderful people I have ever encountered. My sons are 24, 28. I could have been out of the school board business a long time ago, but I love being around these people because they care about kids, they put kids first, they would never do anything that would be detrimental to your kids. My 12 years on the board I have had, I think I estimated somewhere around 200 expulsion hearings that I participated in. I can't remember one that came out of the middle school. Okay? So I don't know what you're hearing out there, but they're not bad kids in 7th and 8th grade. In fact, some of your kids live who have experience with a 6th, 7th, 8th format. And I trust them. I listen to you. I want to hear your concerns. I've heard plenty. But I'm a lawyer. I'm not an educator. So I have to depend on the input from our professional teachers, administrators, and staff. I push them. Everybody up here pushes them. We ask hard questions. We make them give us hard answers. And those of you who feel like the program has somehow not been fleshed out, keep in mind we have curriculum for sixth graders. That's not going to change. The way the curriculum is presented and the depth of the curriculum is going to change, improve, in my opinion. But and the teachers that are teaching sixth graders are going to be teaching sixth graders. So it's more about location and opportunity and less about some radically different program. I don't know how the vote's going to turn out. I just want to assure you that we have not hastily gone into this. We have not done it covertly. We've assiduously followed the Brown Act. We've had these discussions that have been going on for months. It's unfortunate sometimes that parents with your busy lives and your kids just various things and your jobs and everything sometimes become aware of potential changes in the district a little bit later in the process because, you know, you may not be able to follow the board meetings even though we have our agendas and everything online. So from my perspective, this is an incredible opportunity for sixth graders. If it happens and if it's successful, I hope that the entire district will move to a 6th, 7th, 8th program. And I can tell you, if I vote for it, we'll have the money to be able to sustain it and make it work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Millar. Other board members who'd like to comment at this time or ask questions? Mr. Quesenberry?
Well, I'd like to say that I agree with about 90% of what Mr. Millar said. And that's, like he says, pretty good. I was concerned at the start that the parents would feel like this was something being done to them rather than something done with them. I think that still is a little bit of an issue here. Perhaps we could have started sooner at the end of last year, but I think the areas where I agree with them are the areas that are the most important. And I think this is an opportunity, and I think we should look at it as an opportunity to do something really good for the sixth graders, and something that will, I think, in some ways, provide them an opportunity that won't be available to them at their regular elementary school. I can tell you that my own experience is very long ago, 50 years or more, and having come up through Catholic education, I went to schools that were, you know, first through eighth, and I remember feeling somehow left out because I could not have that transition period. And when you go from an eighth grade to a high school where you're going to six periods a day, that's a big, big change. It's a huge jump. And I know that you're not proposing that, but I think that what we're offering is to an easier transition. I think it's a big jump for a sixth grader to go from sixth grade to seventh grade, where you're going to six periods a day and you have a locker and you have. So I think this is kind of a small step, an intermediate step that I think will work for a lot of the kids. And I think and what I do certainly agree with is that having worked with many of these people in this room over the years, that we wouldn't propose this if we thought it was going to be, we wouldn't propose if we thought it was going to have a negative impact on any child. So,
thank you, Mr. Bruckman.
I too believe that administration has done a great deal of work. I got a lot of I have to thank all of you. I got a lot of emails asking a lot of important questions, and one of the emails said that I should go on and do some research. So I did, and it was very enlightening for me. And I won't share it with you all now, but it is going to help me make my decision. But some of you had some questions that you asked, and I still have some questions. I went to a 6, 7, 8 as well. But one of the questions was the conditions of the portables
next year. So that's the goal, and I think that we can accomplish that.
Right.
Okay. Other board members? Do we have Mrs. Sheffer?
I'm going to just briefly reiterate something I had discussed before, but before that, I also would like to thank everyone for your input. You know, we do take this very seriously and have read the letters, and I know I'm not alone in this, have followed up on many of the questions that were raised so that I could feel that personally due diligence had been performed. I think that the number of Monarch Grove parents here is a tribute to Dr. Skoulas and his leadership at the school. I will say that, you know, I think there were some issues raised that were, frankly, kind of troubling with kind of the personal language used and that sort of thing. But I think that some of the other issues raised were very interesting in terms of the number of you out there who have worked hard and volunteered at your schools. And Los Osos Middle School will welcome that continued involvement. I think that, you know, these middle school, high school years, as a parent, believe that it's harder to remain involved in some ways because the kids start pushing away, but it is so important to remain involved and to have schools that welcome that involvement. And I know that that our middle schools and high schools welcome and look forward to that continued involvement. I mean, I was very impressed by some of the things that people listed that they've done at the elementary schools, and there is absolutely no reason that level of involvement cannot continue as you move forward. Your kids may start appreciating or recognizing it somewhat less than the teachers and the administrators at the schools, but it's crucial to the sense of community. I had mentioned this before, but a few weeks ago, but I'll say it again, that for me as an involved parent, when my kids were in middle school, it was the only time I was not nearly as involved, because I felt that the first 7th grade was figuring it out, and 8th grade we were on the way out the door. And I really missed the level of involvement that I had experienced and felt good about contributing to at the elementary level and at the high school level. I as a parent missed those opportunities. I felt less involved. The teachers did not have the same level of understanding, of knowledge of the kids, of the students, because they would get to know a group of kids and then those kids would be moving on. So I think that having the 3 years will actually open up opportunities for families, not just the students. I agree with the comments about the programs and the depth that the students, the depth of knowledge and learning and experience and opportunity the children will share. But I think that the families will experience a level of involvement that just is not possible to attain or not at the same depth with a 2-year program.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
I appreciate all the comments that were made tonight, and I have I'm reserving my judgment until I've been able to follow up on some of the concerns that some of you raised tonight with staff. I do have a great deal of excitement for the program that that Dr. Pruitt explained tonight. And so that has nothing to do with my comments to you about the empathy that I feel for the parents who are here tonight in terms of their sense of loss or grief over their sixth grade students' experience. I understand that, and I empathize with you about that. And my hope is that, I want to ask Dr. Pruitt of his opinion on whether this would be possible. The Heritage School that was visited by the students who made the video, where is that located, Dr. Pruitt?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. And there is a school nearby in San Mateo?
San Mateo.
Mm-hmm. San Mateo, yeah. Mm-hmm. My hope is that, that's a 6th through 8 as well.
Correct.
Perhaps if parents had some real concerns over wanting to see what that looked like or felt like, one could make arrangements individually to visit that school and get a sense of what the parents there and the students there are, how they interact, and how what their concerns were and what their fears were and how those were overcome. That was my question, was about the Heritage School. Thank you.
With a translation system for our families. I know that calls were made in both Spanish and English when we advertised those meetings. So for clarity, I was invited back to two PTA meetings just last week, one at Baywood and one at Del Mar. Those were not my meetings, so I'm not sure if there were translation services at those meetings. I came as a guest to further answer questions. I also was asked by our Director of Secondary Education, Dr. Delkiskamp, to brief her on some of the key points of the program, which she just recently shared with our DLAC members throughout the district. So we've been focused on that outreach as well with our Spanish-speaking families to ensure that they're aware of the progress and what we're proposing.
Do you know if we also talked to ELAC and DLAC, or they were aware of this earlier in the year, the ELAC at the schools at Del Mar, Monarch Grove, Baywood, and whether the DLAC at the district level?
Could you just define what ELAC and DLAC is for people that might not know?
Yeah. You want to do it? Or
ELAC is the English Language Advisory Council, which is specific to the sites. And the DLAC is the District English Language Advisory Council, which sends a representative to serve at the district level representing their sites. And to answer that question, I believe that the ELACs were aware. I'm not sure if it was actually brought up at a meeting. So, and the reason I say that is the principals shared the information out at the sites. They were asked to distribute that information. So I would have to speak with the individual principals about how they communicated
right.
that.
You're welcome.
Did you call on me, Chris? Okay. Well, a lot has already been said by my colleagues here, and I share almost all of their feelings. I've been trying to do my due diligence. I went to the meeting at Baywood School, the meeting at Los Osos Middle School, then the PTA meeting at Baywood School, where I heard a lot of parent input, and I really tried to digest it and get answers to questions. I also sat in on the teacher's planning, one of the teacher planning sessions up at the district office, which was very encouraging. The teachers currently at the middle school are so excited about the potential for this program and really bought into working to make it successful for students. I also spoke to an assistant superintendent up in the Bay Area at Diablo Valley Unified School District, who they have at least 5 middle schools that are currently working as 6-8s and have been for well over 10 years. And I have five nephews who went through two of those schools. So I know that it's a very workable program, and it can be extremely beneficial, and that's without the benefit of the STEAM component. So I have not made up my mind. I'm taking all of the information that I've heard from you parents tonight into consideration. I know if I were seated where you are, I would have many of the same concerns that you have. Just truthfully, you know, for my own children, I'd be thinking, my daughter or my son, they're so young, they're so little, why, you know. But when I look at all of the opportunities that are presented as a part of this program, and now in hindsight, having my kids be 23 and 28 and knowing that you do get through the middle school years and it isn't really a horrifying experience, I would be excited for this opportunity now in hindsight. So I just, as Catherine or Dr. Eisendrath Rogers stated, I am very sympathetic and empathetic to the things that you're expressing, and those are my comments. Thank you.
And I'm just going to close. I think is there any more board comment? I'll wrap this up. I want to let you know that I am a Monarch parent. My son began Monarch Grove Elementary School the first year that it opened. He was the first full kindergarten class that went to school there, and he graduated as a sixth grader. It was a phenomenal school. We had great teachers, starting with Ms. McLean. Also, think one of the questions that the parents asked was about the more specific planning. Now, my understanding is that what you'll be bringing forward to the board at our next meeting is permission to go forward on this. And I guess to begin the nuts and bolts planning that will make this successful, because I'm not going to vote for it if I can't be assured that it's successful and that we have the budget to support it and sustain it.
Correct.
Can you describe to me what your planning process will be, what you expect that to look like, and then what the parent input on that might be, please?
Right. So, in the spirit of this conversation, what I was charged to do, I did hear those concerns quite often when I would attend the forums about, but you're not giving us specifics about what you're thinking about. I'm not seeing enough things on paper. I'm not seeing specifics. And I think I really tried to stay true to my charge, which was to use those forums as an avenue to gain perspective and to create feedback. Many parts of what you saw tonight are pieces of what I heard at each one of those forums, built into the schedule, the early out, and it came from a comment at one of the Baywood forums. So I genuinely had no preconceived notions regarding the specifics of the program when we went into those forums, but was able to come out of those forums with what I think is a very comprehensive and innovative program that works within our contractual agreements with our teachers. The other missing component, which I'm real excited about, is if we were to move forward with this program, as I mentioned in our presentation tonight, the core to any successful program is teachers. And I think every parent behind me would share that with you, and I know that every administrator would share that with you, that a school is only as strong as its teaching staff. And the teachers are the core of any successful program. And I think that's the exciting next step for me. I have picked the brains of our existing 7th and 8th grade teachers as a planning team to talk about what are the core philosophical ideas that we'd like to implement in part of this program. I took the opportunity to send an invitation to every 6th grade teacher in the district to come to my site at Loam's in an afternoon and just share with me what they feel are the key components of a successful 6th grade experience. And we had a full house that afternoon and had a great conversation with the 6th grade teachers. But I think I'm very, very interested and excited about identifying those five to six teachers that we will bring on board as new 6th grade teachers at Los Osos Middle School to begin to kind of finish out the house. So what I feel like is I've built a frame for a program that I think allows us to be very innovative. but also it's going to rely very much on who we bring in as those teachers, get them together to begin to collaborate, bring parents into the fold that want to be part of that planning team, and continue the involvement of our 7th and 8th grade teachers, because we know the importance. We already recognize the importance of articulation, because one of our goals, and we've said it all along, is to not have this be a 6th grade bubble experience and then go right back to some other traditional experience that we have at 7th and 8th grade currently. So the idea is to carry this model through 7th and 8th grade, and that is going to happen with our existing 7th and 8th grade teachers. And I echo Ms. Rogers' comments about their excitement. When I proposed this schedule to our 7th and 8th grade group, actually it was actually a product of our end of our day. We had a couple of teachers turn and say, well, why aren't we doing that in 7th and 8th grade? So they were encouraged by the concepts that were presented that day. So I think the next steps for us are fine-tuning, are doing some visits of some model schools, getting our team together to begin to flush out the specific details of how they want to structure their day within the curriculum. And that is going to rely a lot on the creativity of the team that we put together.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think we'll just close out this item. And I'd like to say something that I think is so interesting to me. And I don't know if people that have been on the board remember this. There was a time when there was a perception that the coast was being shorted, and that Los Osos Middle School, our elementary schools, and clearly Morro Bay High School were not receiving their fair share of district resources. What I'm seeing here tonight is a tremendous movement for the coast and tremendous opportunities for our students out here. And as Mr. Millar said, whatever's successful here, we absolutely owe to our students at the rest of the district. And the lessons that we learn here, I think the rest of the board fully expect that those will carry over to our other schools. So with that, I'm going to close this item out, and we'll move on to item number 7.03. We're missing two board members. We have a quorum, though. Thank you. Let's move on to item number 7.03, new teacher evaluation tool. Mr. Robinette.
Thank you, and I will be very brief because I know we've had a lot going on tonight. I'd just like to report that we're off and running on our new teacher evaluation pilot. Since last time I mentioned this, our specialists, such as nurses, librarians, psychologists, instructional coaches, counselors, they all have rubrics also designed for their fields that are being piloted. Our committee met last Thursday all day to work on clarifying some protocol issues for the following year when this is not a pilot and it's the official evaluation tool. We began the process of looking at an administrator evaluation instrument that is also based on rubrics. So no longer are we just saying principles are satisfactory or unsatisfactory, but looking on a continuum with evidence as to what constitutes those ratings, and we will continue to work as a committee on that. I think an accurate summary of how it's gone so far would be that this new instrument is very robust. It is very time-consuming for both teacher and administrator, and it has really strengthened the conversation about what really constitutes excellent instruction. And it takes opinion largely out of the equation and replaces it with evidence and collaborative effort, and it's been very well received. The committee on this project, which is mostly teachers, has been just fantastic, and it was fun to get back together last Thursday with them because we haven't seen each other for a while. And so instead of speaking more about it, I just want to reiterate how good I think it's been so far. We'll keep reporting on how the pilot goes. And I would like to thank the members of the committee publicly, because I don't know if I've done that at the board meeting, but the following individuals are on the teacher evaluation committee: Amy Shields, Deb Pagan, Brooke McMillan, Emily Capilano, Eric Marthaler, Jeff Araguena, Jim Nett, Kim Holmes, Kyle Pruitt, Lori Johnson, Rick Mayfield, Guy Crabb, Rose Fowler, Ryan Pinkerton, and Scott Nairn. So if you have any questions, I'm available.
Any questions? Okay. Let's move on to item number 8.01, approval of revised declaration of need for fully qualified educators. And that would be Mr. Pinkerton.
This is actually an item that was previously approved by the board, but we are looking at possibly having to bring in a new preschool special education teacher, and through that process realize that if we have to do a short-term staff permit, we wanted to make sure that we had that approved by the board as part of that documentation. So it's just to make sure that we are upholding the law, stating exactly the number of teachers that we have in that area.
Okay. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the board on this? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Is there any discussion from board members? Okay. Yeah, this is an action discussion item, so we could take action on this. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Yeah, I move approval of a revised declaration of need for fully qualified educators.
We have a motion by Mr. Quesenberry and a second by Mr. Millar. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll bring it back for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 7-0. Item number 8.02, proposed new and modified secondary courses. This is a first reading, however, we could waive that if the board so chooses. Dr. Delkiskamp.
For your consideration this evening are proposals for one modified course and two new courses. AP Macroeconomics is a modification to the previously approved AP Economics course. Although AP Economics attempted to address both AP Micro and Macroeconomics, we discovered that that wasn't feasible. So instead, by approving AP Macroeconomics, our high schools will have a choice of offering one or both of these AP courses. In terms of the Reading Literacy Plus course, what it does is provide an alternative to our current strategic reading class. It's different because it provides a double period in which the instructors are then able to fully implement our Read 180 program and yet also supplement the program with core literature and writing from our English mainstream classes, and in that way providing a seamless connection between the intervention and mainstream components of the curriculum. And then finally, we're really excited to propose the new course of biotechnology. This course aligns with our goals in Initiatives 5 and 10, creating STEAM programs and preparing college and career-ready students. And we're very fortunate that Stephen Gady, the teacher at Morro Bay High School, who has created this course outline, is here, and I wanted to invite him to share his thoughts with you and see if you have any questions for him.
Thank you, Rita. Hi, my name is Steve Gady. I teach at Morro Bay High School. I'm a science teacher there. I worked in the biotechnology industry before I changed careers to become an educator. And I think it's a great opportunity to teach students applied science, so science that they can use for research later in college and also in the industry. So there's a broad spectrum of students that it could serve. It could serve students who are going into the workforce right out of high school all the way through, PhD candidates.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Millar and then Mr. Buckman.
Testimony to continual learning. I just learned recently that each one of us has about 3 pounds of bacteria and are in us, on us, and around us, and it's our biome, I think they refer to it as.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, and we probably upset the balance of our biomes by antibiotics and all kinds of stuff. So, very exciting, and can I audit your class?
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Mark?
I'm now wondering whether I need to shower more often.
It's an easy way to lose weight.
I know, it works for me. It's all over. I'm sorry. I'm very excited. This sounds like a great program. I'm looking at the very last line in the course. Then it says the course will be submitted for approval to UCCSU I'm assuming the A to G's. My question, I guess, for both of you is this a course that we created, that we wrote the the whole curriculum here?
That's correct, yeah.
Wow.
That's correct. Yeah, it's really exciting. I think when you see the price tag on it, you might not be so excited about it. It's going to require some equipment that's not going to be particularly cheap, but it's durable equipment, so it'll last for a really long time.
So I have a question now for Mr. Miller. Are we allowed to sell these kinds of things to other school districts? I mean, intellectual property rights?
I was thinking the same thing. Can we make money off this extra weight or what?
We're going to clone you.
There are other biotechnology programs. There's a few in the Bay Area and San Diego, which have big industry representation. Also on the East Coast, there's in fact one biotechnology high school. I believe it's in Massachusetts. So it's definitely out there. And I've been piloting some of the laboratory activities in the microbiology class that I have right now, and the students have been getting a lot out of it. And it's amazing how far we can go with these kids. They soak it up.
Yeah. I just have a suggestion. I'm always full of suggestions. You know Leonard Muthart, don't you?
Yeah.
And Promega Life Sciences.
We just toured his lab 3 weeks ago. Yeah. We did.
I'm really excited about this. I think it sounds great. I don't understand all the words in the description, but that's what Google is for. But I have a question, maybe more for Rita, I'm not sure. What is the typical kind of I'm just curious, in submitting for approval to me, what's that process like? How long does it take and that sort of thing?
And we would rely on the expertise of Kathy Bueller-Lipsey over at Morro Bay to do that. It can be quick, but sometimes it can take up to 6 months. It can definitely occur within this year.
Chris?
Dr. Prater?
If you don't mind, just 1 second. I just think it's interesting, and it wasn't on purpose. It actually is happenstance, but the discussions we've had about bringing sixth grade under a STEAM model to Los Osos Middle School, what you're viewing tonight with Mr. Gady's proposal is the high school link, the beginning of a STEM link in grades 6 through 12. So this is the beginning of that, and I just want you to begin to see how purposeful we're being in this vision.
Marilyn, did you?
Well, I just wanted to thank Mr. Gady for taking the time and making the effort to go above and beyond the regular curriculum that he has to deliver to create this for us, for our students. Thank you personally for going to that extra effort.
And Mr. Millar.
Well, I'd like to move approval of these modified courses.
Okay, and second by Mr. Buckman. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion from the board? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 7-0. Let's move on to our action consent agenda. Please let me know, of course, if you want to have anything pulled. Item number 9.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 9.02, disposition of surplus property. 9.03, acceptance of donations. 9.04, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 9.05, approval of purchase orders. And I think that's it. And I see nobody wants to pull it. Is there any comment from the public on this? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. No comment from the board. I'll bring it for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Carries 7. Oh, sorry.
I was just
kidding. That would be helpful. I'm thinking like Mr. Miller now. Would somebody like to make a motion? I see Mr. Quisenberry. I'm volunteering Mr. Quisenberry.
I move approval of the action consent items, starting with 9.01 and ending with 9.5.
Okay. Would somebody like to seconded by Mrs. Rogers? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Now it carries 7-0.
Become a dictator.
I'm just trying to move things along here. Is there anybody who'd like to add anything for 10.02 for our advanced agenda? I'm going to say I know our next meeting is going to be pretty full. So, okay, seeing none, let's bring it back to 11.01, reports by board members. Okay, I think that's it. We're done. Thank you.
See you in San Francisco.